In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, September 16th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number two, new leadership at the Office of Management and Budget, the Senate Budget Committee hearing from Jack Lew, President Obama's nominee to take over at OMB, and of course Mr. Lew holding that job during the Clinton administration. You'll hear what his vision is for OMB in hour number two of the program today. In hour number one, it's industry chatter as we do every week at this time. And my guest today is Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions. And Joe, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Talk about what your company does, the elevator speech on what you do.
Sure. Accelera Solutions is a company that is focused in the virtualization space. We deal with desktop, application, and server virtualization technologies. From these technologies, we develop solutions for disaster recovery, desktop virtualization, server consolidation, and enterprise-wide application delivery.
Mm-hmm. The one element that we don't focus on, I don't think enough, that I don't pay enough attention to, is disaster recovery. It obviously, since 9/11, the federal government's become a lot more sensitive to that. But even when you think about COOP planning for something like the huge snowstorm that we had, where a number of federal employees were able to continue to work, even though they weren't able to get to their offices, still able to get work done. Talk about how virtualization fits into that. A lot of people think, well, it's just teleworking and you have a laptop, and it's not quite that simple.
Right. Yeah, I mean, COOP comes in a lot of different flavors these days, right? There's the disaster where you have, you know, the smoking hole scenario where your data center is kind of not there anymore and you have to fail over to a secondary data center mm-hmm. or tertiary. And then there's COOP with the snowstorm. And, you know, what's near and dear to most people's heart is that they have a big workload on their desk and when they go home for a snowstorm, the first day it's kind of great to get a day off, but uh-huh. every other day they see that big workload just getting bigger.
Right.
And, you know, application and desktop virtualization technologies really enable organizations, agencies to be able to put their workforce out into the field. That field could be their home. It could be other offices. It could be, quite frankly, auditors on site, things like that. Mm-hmm. So virtualization is really an enabling technology to promote telework access, mobile workforces, and also with regards to data center virtualization, you can take that technology and implement secondary data centers whereby the workloads that you're running at your primary data center can very easily be migrated to a secondary data center or, quite frankly, be online all the time and be kind of in a dormant state waiting to be activated so they can take over the full workload that's required to support the agency.
If I'm a neophyte, which I am, give me kind of the one or two sentence definition of virtualization, what it means.
Sure. So virtualization allows our customers to separate a workload from a physical asset. So really what that means is you take your operating systems and applications that are typically very tightly tied to a server or a desktop,
mm-hmm.
and we extract those from the server, and we just lay down a small piece of software on top of that that enables multiple workloads to share that same server or desktop asset.
Mm-hmm. How's that different from cloud computing?
Well, cloud computing is actually made up of a lot of components that are virtualization technologies. So what we are allowed to do, or what virtualization enables us to do, is be able to take a workload that we might be running in our own data center and be able to very easily, because it's decoupled from that hardware, be able to very easily migrate that into a public space
mm-hmm.
and use computing cycles that are out in the public space. And quite frankly, be able to duplicate that workload or shrink that workload by many factors if we need to, in order to be able to increase capacity or decrease capacity.
Is saving money the biggest advantage of virtualization, or is it the green element? Well, I guess they're kind of tied together mm-hmm. because you're not just saving money on servers, you're saving money on the energy that it costs to run the servers.
Yeah, there's a great statistic that's been used for a long time, and it's Over 80% of servers in a data center are used 5% or less when they're x86 hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about that, if you have a data center of just call it 100 servers, and 80 of those servers are only used up to 5% utilization.
Right.
Well, then you got a lot of boxes there that are just pulling down power and just, you know, drawing tons of watts that you really could save by taking those 80 workloads in your data center and consolidating those down up to a 20-to-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have one server that would support 20 of those workloads potentially.
Right. So if you're doing a 20-to-1 cut, are you saving that much money? I mean, are you spending 1/20th of what you would have spent before?
From a power consumption perspective, it's not 1/20th because the newer servers do pull a little more power than the older ones do. But you're certainly still saving a significant amount of power. Call it, 10-to-1 for the power savings at that point,
mm-hmm.
right? Just to be conservative. I think the real savings is in your ability to be able to leverage that same technology, that virtualization technology, and be able to use it for a lot of other things, such as disaster recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So you consolidate your servers on a fewer number of servers. The workloads then become portable, so they can move from server to server, and you're able to have predictable downtime mm-hmm. in your organization.
Yeah.
So you can move workloads to a separate server, bring that one server down, do maintenance on it, bring it back up, move the workload back online to the original server, and your users never know that it was moved.
So this is a redeploying of assets and just using what you've got in a much more efficient manner is what it sounds like.
That's absolutely true. With regards to the server virtualization technology, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at application and desktop virtualization, there's a whole broad spectrum of benefits that you get from leveraging those technologies in the enterprise.
Mm-hmm. How are the agencies doing that you talk to at really being able to maximize technology like this? Are they able to move on this stuff at the speed that they would like to or that maybe they should be able to?
Well, I think we see some agencies as front runners in
mm-hmm.
this. They have very progressive thought leadership, and quite frankly, they're willing to push the envelope a little bit. So they're able to adopt technology a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, however, that 50% or so of the agencies are struggling a little bit with getting from where they are today, which is, you know, traditional computing, to a virtualized environment. Some of them are taking baby steps, and I think that's actually kind of costing them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In that technology evolves so quickly, by the time they've adopted something that's multiple revs old, they're not able to get the benefits out of the newest technology.
Right. It seems that there are some agencies that are really behind that curve, and not because they don't want to try to step up. But as you say, they're kind of caught in a bit of a perpetual cycle, it seems like, sometimes.
Yeah. And what we find is that, in many cases, a lot of these folks are sort of, getting direction from the manufacturers of the software
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature. And it's very difficult to find, it has been very, very difficult, I think, for these folks to find a subject matter expert in this field that is, quite frankly, manufacturer agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we come in, and we really help folks sort of gain some clarity in the cloud.
Yeah. How do you break somebody out of that? How do you sit down with somebody? I mean, I guess there's an element of, I don't mean to be disparaging to the agencies, but there's an element of hand-holding saying, listen, this is really good for you, and you may have gotten a little bit of information that's not real helpful to you, and here's how we're going to break out of it. Is that how
yeah.
you try to approach it?
Well, we do. We have to do that. We have to be very consultative with them. It's very much like a doctor-patient visit to a certain extent.
I bet.
It is. And what we find is that if we can do proof of concepts and small pilots for them, it really allows them to put their hands on the technology. And that sounds kind of funny, but when you say you're going to let somebody put their hands on the technology, they get to experience it. And particularly when you start talking about desktop and application virtualization, it's very much an end-user experience game.
Mm-hmm.
And so people need to sit down and touch it and use it and make sure they're comfortable with it. And we do a really good job of helping customers get that comfort level so that they feel like they can, deploy this across their enterprise and be confident that there's going to be no risk in it.
Joe Brown's the president of Accelera Solutions on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're talking about virtualization, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
When you're trying to find answers to tough problems, you need the best minds you can find. Our company, TASK, helps some of the U.S. government's most crucial agencies solve complex challenges. TASK is looking for intelligent men and women in the Washington, D.C. area to put their best thinking to work for great causes like peace, freedom, safety, and security for all Americans. To learn how you can join our smart and visionary team, please visit TASK.com. That's TASK.com. TASK is an equal opportunity employer. U.S. citizenship is required for most positions. When you're trying to find answers to tough problems, you need the best minds you can find. Our company, TASK, helps some of the U.S. government's most crucial agencies solve complex challenges. TASK is looking for intelligent men and women in the Washington, D.C. area to put their best thinking to work for great causes like peace, freedom, safety, and security for all Americans. To learn how you can join our smart and visionary team, please visit TASK.com. That's TASK.com. TASK is an equal opportunity employer. U.S. citizenship is required for most positions.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to dell.com/deliver now.
You're an agent of change, making changes for the better in the face of shrinking budgets and expanding expectations. Amplify your agency's possibilities with unified communication solutions from Verizon that enable you to securely and reliably work where you work best, at a kitchen table or an office abroad. Change your team into a dynamic, interactive 24/7 think tank with our collaboration solutions and BlackBerry Bold smartphones, and transform smaller budgets into bigger successes. So while demands are rising and funds are declining, you can address both with powerful, global mobile voice and data solutions from Verizon. Find out how you can make your teams even more powerful and effective at verizonwireless.com/gov or by calling 1-800-293-3048. Verizon. Rule the air.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorbeck Insider this afternoon. Contractor integrity. GAO says there needs to be stronger safeguards for contractors who have access to sensitive information, and we'll get details. And all this talk about apps, there's an app for that, right? Well, are people using those apps? Is your investment in apps worth your time? A new report has insights. We'll tell you about it this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorbeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions is my guest, and we were talking about virtualization, which is something that your company does, obviously. I'm curious, though, what the evolution has been like when it comes to receptiveness of the agencies to adapt new technology. You mentioned that about half the agencies have thought leaders that are really open and forward-thinking when it comes to technology. So I would think that would bode well for what you've seen over the last, say, 2 to 5 years in the marketplace as far as how the agencies are trying to move toward newer, more efficient, more green technology.
Yeah, you know, it's it was amazing to me, actually. I was very excited and encouraged to see how rapidly the federal CIOs adopted server virtualization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point in nearly every agency we talk to today, they have some form or flavor of server virtualization, and most of them have defined some type of a strategy in and around how they will adopt or are adopting server virtualization, which is great. You know, that to me speaks volumes to the folks that are leading these agencies today.
Is that because of their own brains and their interest in advancing technology? Is it because of budget pressures that are forcing them to look for ways to save money? Is it a combination? Are there other factors? What do you attribute it to?
You know, I think a lot of these folks, the CIOs in these agencies mainly, they are faced with a growing number of x86 servers in their environment. And it was a constant pain point for them to find more data center space, more power, more heating, more cooling, mm-hmm. to accommodate these servers, and also more budget to buy them, mm-hmm. right? Let's be honest. So that being a typical pain point for them and something that was very, very much a repetitive in their face issue, they looked at server virtualization as a silver bullet. And I think they quite quickly realized that they could start putting enterprise applications on these virtual servers, mm-hmm. and they would operate just as well, if not better, than a piece of hardware would.
Yeah.
So that was very good.
Was it the main component, though, demonstrating an ROI, or is it really just demonstrating efficiency, or what was the breakthrough for you?
I think there's a combination of hurdles that people have in the beginning, mm-hmm. When they start looking at this technology. The first thing is it viable, and is anyone else using it?
Yeah.
Right? And that's always a tough thing. They don't want to be the first people.
Right.
But I think something that's really driven people, driven these agencies recently, is the mandates and the that have been pushed down from the presidential office.
Mm-hmm.
They've said, hey, look, you guys need to look at server virtualization. You need to look at green computing. You should be doing data center assessments to make sure that you have a plan on how you can adopt this technology. That's a very powerful statement because it's coming from the top, and it's saying you need to make sure you're adopting this technology.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So with that nudge, it's really kind of, I'd say, taking the brakes off for a lot of folks. Uh-huh. They're going full steam at it now.
It is interesting, though, to hear you say, because just thinking about human nature, when the boss tells you to do something, it's not always that you don't always do it with a big smile on your face.
Right.
And yet it sounds like once these CIOs have dug into this technology and gotten to understand it, it hasn't been real difficult for them to see the benefits of it.
It hasn't. And I think they've been able to leverage a lot of their internal staff and with some consulting from the outside to help them do this in a very rapid fashion, in a way that allows them, quite frankly, to adopt the technology quickly and at a low cost, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the manufacturers have done a good job of putting together licensing programs and such that support rapid adoption or slow growth, whichever is better for the agency.
When we come back, we just have about a minute left in this segment, but when we come back, I want to talk about the business of doing business with the government. Technology is accelerating at a much faster pace than the capability sometimes of the acquisition workforce to be able to understand it and understand what it is that it will do for the agency. So I want to talk about that when we come back. And I also want to hear about the work that you're doing with on the ALTA system for the military. And there's a number of other things I want to hit on. Just real quickly before we go to break, though, with about 30 seconds left. In short, is it getting easier or harder, do you think, to do business with the government?
I think as a small business owner, it's becoming easier for me to do business with the federal government, which is very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll touch more on that when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Joe Brown, the president of Accelera Solutions, my guest. And a reminder, in hour number two, new leadership at the Office of Management and Budget, Jack Liu, has been nominated to take over at OMB once again. And you'll hear from him on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
Radio. Stocks are lower. The Dow's down 13 points. The Nasdaq lower by 9. Crude prices are down about $1.50 to $74 a barrel. But we're paying more at the gas pump. That's because of rising prices in the Midwest, where a pipeline has been closed for nearly a week, cutting off one supply of crude for refineries in that region. Producer prices rose 0.4% in August, but if you take out food and energy costs, inflation remained relatively tame to just 0.1%. New claims for unemployment benefits fell to a two-month low. The Labor Department says they dropped 3,000 to 450,000. And the nation's poverty rate is now at 14.3%, its highest level since 1994. A Washington-based think tank predicts it will continue to climb over the next decade to about 16%. Chris Maurer, CNBC.
Everyone knows that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. You'd have to be living on Jupiter not to know that. Want to talk discounts? GEICO's got a list of discounts as long as a gorilla's arm, including good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and discounts for auto safety features. In short, GEICO's out to save you as much money as humanly possible. Scratch that. As much money as inhumanly possible.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Why do we rely on just investing when there's another way? A way to measure success over a lifetime, not just a single day. Where you don't chase what's hot, you do what's right. And where there's one rule, the golden rule. We call it vanguarding. Vanguarding is a behavior, a philosophy, a call to action. So ask yourself, are you just investing or are you vanguarding? Learn more at vanguard.com or call us at 888-VANGUARD.
Babies will do everything they can to keep you from sleeping. And they'll do this for well over a year. They'll throw up on your sweater, in your hair, and all over your car. They'll not only poop in their pants, they'll poop on your pants. They'll pull your hair and quite literally bite the hand that feeds them. They will talk nonstop between the ages of 6 and 9, but they won't say a single word to you once they turn 13. And when they do, it'll likely involve disagreeing at rather high volumes. Still, you will love them like nothing else, and you will do anything and everything you can to keep them happy and healthy, and so will we. At Kaiser Permanente, we offer families the tools they need to grow up and grow old together, from prenatal care to postnatal care to pediatric care and beyond. Because although there's nothing that makes us crazier than our kids, there's nothing that makes us happier either. Kaiser Permanente, may your family live long and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Here's Henry Sienkiewicz, CIO DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Building Government's Future Infrastructure, sponsored by Ciena.
To support the relief efforts in Haiti, where we were able to see the government bureaucracy, and you would see organizations and individuals and NGOs go there and interact with anyone inside the Department of Defense and grab resources and shift resources appropriately to support immediate real-world needs.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Need help with a federal data center consolidation initiative? Ciena can help you solve your most critical networking challenges. They can ensure you meet the FDCCI guidelines to reduce costs while improving reliability, security, and management. To understand more about driving down storage costs while increasing performance and reducing latency, visit ciena.com/radio. That's ciena.com/radio.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for September is Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children. This is the only children's hospital, level one trauma center, and pediatric intensive care unit in Northern Virginia. Inova provides expert care in more than 30 specialties and a dedicated pediatric emergency room designed to put the youngest of patients at ease. Better health, one person at a time. That's the Inova difference. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Ackerman Security Systems.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Joe Brown, the president of Accelera Solutions, talking about doing business with the government. You said before the break it's getting easier for you to do business with the government as a small business. Talk about why that is.
Sure. You know, I think when this administration came in, there was a lot of talk in and around the agencies about meeting their small business goals. And this administration has done a really good job of supporting and, you know, driving mandates towards getting these folks to meet their small business goals. And therefore, the contractors that are working with them, that had long-term contracts, like, you know, the big five contractors out there, when those things come up for recompete, those contracts are starting to be broken up a little bit and issued out to smaller businesses. And also, the agencies are making sure that these larger integrators use, small businesses for whatever, portion of the contract is required, because it's really important to these, to our, well, our industry and really our region here.
You were talking during the break about some of the advantages. I noticed your iPad here, and we were talking about how you liked it and so on. And we got into this conversation that I think is fascinating about what the IT shop of the future will look like, hopefully in government, because as a taxpayer, it sounds like a tremendously advantageous way to go about it from a budget perspective, but also from an end user perspective. Just about every CIO I talk to says, people are driving me crazy. They want to get their own mobile devices on my network, and I don't want to be the person that says no to everybody, but I don't also don't want to have 50,000 mobile devices that I don't know what they're doing and how clean they are and so on my network. Tell me about the way that the way around that using virtualization that we were talking about.
Yeah, so there's been this concept that some commercial companies have adopted called BYOPC, or bring your own PC. And what these companies do is they give an allowance out to their employees to buy a PC, and it can be whatever they want to buy. It doesn't matter. And the employee then is responsible for the PC and how it gets support from the manufacturer they bought it from. And what these organizations have done is then they virtualize the desktop that they typically would have installed on this PC for the person. And the person can then access that virtual desktop anywhere they have an internet connection. The big benefits of that is the endpoint device, or the PC, is no longer necessarily a PC. It could be an iPad. It could be a tablet device. It could be a phone, for that matter. Any number of Linux or Mac devices. These things now are irrelevant to the picture. The endpoint platform is completely irrelevant, because now we can run a Windows 7 operating system on top of an iPad, which is a really interesting paradigm.
I bet.
And it,
Steve Jobs doesn't probably like it that much, but who cares about him?
There's a lot of conversation around that. I'll tell you. But I think the greatest news is that CIOs that are adopting desktop virtualization can now be a CIO that can say yes to things, whereas before they had to say no because there was no way to manage and maintain those devices.
Yeah. So they're managing the back end completely. I mean, everything, every single thing is managed on the back end, and the piece of equipment in the end user's hand, whether it's a desktop or a laptop or a pad or whatever, really just becomes the access point, rather than the actual holder of any data or information.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Data leakage issues that we used to have to deal with when people would, you know, take a list of a bunch of names and social security numbers and things like that, maybe take it home with them on their laptop, those days can be put behind us totally. Because we centrally manage and centrally operate all the virtual desktops inside of a data center, and people are simply remoting in to connect to those. And no data actually leaves the data center.
Right.
Well, that's pretty powerful, and it really increases your security profile dramatically and allows you to take advantage of all those fantastic enterprise class security technologies that you've already implemented at the perimeter of your data center.
Mm-hmm.
And without the data leakage issue, well, now I can run any type of device. It doesn't matter if there's a piece of malware on the end of it, because it can never get back in my virtual desktop session.
Yeah,
there's a lot of headaches that solves.
Yeah, I imagine the appeal there is really tremendous, because to worry about what is happening in your system and not worry about the inventory at the other end is pretty powerful. Knowing what you know about how the government works and requirements and on, do you see a BYOPC model possible or likely in the federal government anytime soon? Because that sounds pretty appealing.
It does sound great. And I think that to a certain extent, we can allow people to use a wider variety of devices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we can, or the government can go to a full BYOPC program. I think, in the past, particularly in the DOD, it's always the policy has always been you can only use government furnished equipment to access the networks.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that type of policy, and not just in the DOD but anywhere else, is going to become something of the past very soon.
Mm.
As they begin to roll out virtual desktops on a broader basis,
mm-hmm.
They will very quickly realize that because their security posture is so much better, and they can protect things so much more easily in the data center than they ever used to be able to, that endpoint becomes less and less relevant to the picture.
I think about the guy that we heard about not too long ago, in Ashton Carter talked about in 2008, somebody stuck a thumb drive in a DOD computer in the Middle East and had malware on the thumb drive. And thumb drives can really become a thing of the past as well, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think when you're implementing virtualization technology like this, and it really separates the hardware from the software components,
mm-hmm.
You're able to control everything that goes in and out of that software component, which is the virtual desktop, and you have very granular access control to it because, well, quite frankly, there's a security wrapper that's inherent in the technology.
Mm-hmm. If we had had this conversation 18 months or 2 years ago, the idea of a tablet on the network would have never come up. It was not something that was really high profile. They were available and nobody really cared about them that much. Obviously, it's different now, and I think Apple said they're going to sell between now and Christmas 80 kajillion of them, and there are going to be 719 Android tablets coming out, right. And Windows is on and on and on. It seems to be the next wave. How do you anticipate what will happen next and try to plan your business for that and what the government is going to need because of how technology might change?
Well, one of the things we talk to CIOs about is when you embrace virtualization as your enterprise delivery technology, because really it's a delivery technology, you're able to have the luxury of not necessarily having to anticipate what the next computing wave is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because that endpoint becomes completely irrelevant, it could change over and over and over again. And quite frankly, you could have droids and iPads and everything under the sun attached to your virtual desktops, and they would be able to operate in a very safe and clean manner.
Mm-hmm.
And so really what it allows folks to do in these agencies is not have to bet on any one technology. It really provides them with a very flexible computing environment to be able to handle a lot of different scenarios. And that's what we really talk to folks about. That's what folks are really interested in today. If you think about in the old days when people had a standard PC and they first attached it to the network and it became an enterprise PC,
mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as that happened, everybody in the organization got involved from the IT perspective and said, we have to lock this thing down and secure mm-hmm. it. And so we've been for years locking them down, securing them, reducing user capabilities, and taking away what is otherwise a very consumer-friendly environment,
mm-hmm.
and been reducing it to something that is much more rigid and really locked down, that's not very user-friendly.
And that's really been the, that was the genesis of the federal desktop core configuration, was how do we make sure that each one of these is the same so that we can anticipate what patches will be needed and how we keep it secure, and are people introducing things into the network that shouldn't be? And that, from the sound of it, may also become obsolete at some point.
I think the use of the FDCC concept is still something that has a lot of legs.
Okay.
I think standards are very much something that has to be there. However, I think the way you implement the standards is a little bit different. If we implement those in a virtualization environment, then we can pretty much, with a cookie cutter, stamp out a whole bunch of FDCC-compliant desktops with the appropriate application loads, either loaded on them or delivered from an application virtualization hub, and then allow any type of endpoint to attach to those virtual desktops. An FDCC standard doesn't have to interact directly with any of those endpoints.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out of this desktop refresh treadmill type scenario that a lot of CIOs, and quite frankly, everybody's been on for years.
Mm-hmm. Joe Brown's the president of Accelera Solutions, my guest for the hour on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our conversation continues in just a moment.
Babies will do everything they can to keep you from sleeping. And they'll do this for well over a year. They'll throw up on your sweater, in your hair, and all over your car. They'll not only poop in their pants, they'll poop on your pants. They'll pull your hair and quite literally bite the hand that feeds them. They will talk nonstop between the ages of 6 and 9, but they won't say a single word to you once they turn 13. And when they do, it'll likely involve disagreeing at rather high volumes. Still, you will love them like nothing else, and you will do anything and everything you can to keep them happy and healthy, and so will we. At Kaiser Permanente, we offer families the tools they need to grow up and grow old together, from prenatal care to postnatal care to pediatric care and beyond. Because although there's nothing that makes us crazier than our kids, there's nothing that makes us happier either. Kaiser Permanente, may your family live long and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Here's Henry Sienkiewicz, CIO DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Building Government's Future Infrastructure, sponsored by Ciena.
To support the relief efforts in Haiti, where we were able to see the government bureaucracy, and you would see organizations and individuals and NGOs go there and interact with anyone inside the Department of Defense and grab resources and shift resources appropriately to support immediate real-world needs.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Need help with the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative? Ciena can help you solve your most critical networking challenges. They can ensure you meet the FDCCI guidelines to reduce costs while improving reliability, security, and management. To understand more about driving down storage costs while increasing performance and reducing latency, visit ciena.com/radio. That's ciena.com/radio.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for September is Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children. This is the only children's hospital, level one trauma center, and pediatric intensive care unit in Northern Virginia. Inova provides expert care in more than 30 specialties and a dedicated pediatric emergency room designed to put the youngest of patients at ease. Better health, one person at a time. That's the Inova difference. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Ackerman Security Systems.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Industry chatter with Joe Brown, president of Accelera Solutions. And I'm wondering, we hear a lot about green IT, and agencies say we're going to be more green, and presidents put out requirements for agencies to do it. How are they doing, and are there still some pieces of low-hanging fruit that are out there for some agencies to grab onto and take advantage of?
That's a good question. You know, the right now what we see is in the data center, they're driving towards green IT with using server virtualization. Again, I think that was sort of the initial adoption on a broad scale of virtualization technology. As these agencies have evolved and as technology has evolved, very quickly we've seen that the next sort of step in this process of going green is looking at the power that's being drawn by the desktops in the organization. And if you just think about the number of desktops versus the number of servers anybody has today, it's exponentially more in number, right? And, you know, we very recently did a kind of a measurement. We took an old, you know, clunker type PC and we measured it, and it was roughly like 15 amps. It was drawn with a CRT monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took a very modern Zero client from Wise and we attached a standard flat panel monitor to it, and it was like just 1 amp basically it was drawing. So the reduction is amazing in power at the desktop that we can achieve. And what we believe is the next sort of step or wave of power consumption reduction, I guess, will be at the desktop level.
Mm-hmm. What is fascinating to me about those kinds of things is the savings on we had a story in the Federal News Countdown a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was the Navy was telling everybody to turn their computers off and figuring out ways to reduce power, and it was like 9 cents at a time or something like that. But then when you multiply by the number of computers and the number of days, it's millions of dollars a year. And I think it's interesting to me that we're just now catching on to the scale that's involved here with the number of computers that are being used and the amount of juice they're drawing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think what we have to sort of consider is that most folks are very comfortable with the way they do desktop computing today.
And mm-hmm.
They're not always necessarily interested in just, you know, revolutionizing their desktop environment. And so in a lot of these folks, really the power cost doesn't necessarily it's not that visible to them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is kind of paying for it. But when you add some of the factors up in and around desktop virtualization and some of the benefits to it, you can really start to measure very quickly how implementing desktop virtualization not only provides you with COOP and telework and disaster recovery capabilities, and mobile computing, but it also gives you a very green footprint. And so we believe that, you know, that will become very evident to people coming in the future.
My guest is Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back to wrap up in just a moment.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
The uproar over a Florida pastor's threat to burn the Quran is not going away. 60 people were injured in Kabul, Afghanistan, during a rally against the idea. The crowd in the western part of the city shot at police and threw stones. The Quran has been at the heart of a number of violent struggles in Europe, Central Asia, and in the Middle East in recent days, and the concern is not just for locations outside of the U.S. Authorities here are on alert for violence that may grow out of similar protest. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money? Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Ehring comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Tune into the Federal CFO Insights program on September 22nd at 1 p.m. as we turn the tables and interview former program host Clarence Crawford, former federal CFO and current director with Deloitte Consulting, LLP. Mr. Crawford will discuss the changing role and road ahead for federal CFOs with new program host and former radio personality Jane Norris. Don't miss Deloitte's Federal CFO Insights program on Wednesday, September 22nd at 1 p.m. only on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem. The answer? Constant hacking. Every day, thousands of cyber attackers try to access federal networks. With Quest Security Solutions, you can keep the out and your data protected. To learn more about Quest Security Solutions, visit quest.com/federal. That's QWEST.com/federal.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Federal agencies are spending more money to repay student loans for their workers. In a new report, OPM says agencies spent about $62 million on the repayment program in 2009. That's up from about $52 million the previous year. The number of feds receiving repayment benefits also increased 23%. The program is designed to help agencies recruit and retain top talent. I'm Amy Morris.
Are you getting the most value from your life insurance premium? Probably not. Therefore, take a moment to check out WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that enables federal employees to purchase better life insurance at far better prices. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that has returned over $52 million in refunds to its policyholders since 1996. Visit WAEPA.org to learn how you can reduce your premiums and become eligible for future refunds. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
There are many ways to be a hero. You can protect, you can lead, you can inspire, or you can do all three. Be an IT hero in your government agency. Help your agency staff be more productive. Virtualize your data centers to maximize efficiency and help reduce costs. Get your U.S. government configuration baseline compliance using Microsoft technologies while maintaining effective configuration settings focusing on security. You can do it all with Microsoft. Heroes are wanted. Learn how you can be an IT hero. Go to Microsoft.com/govitHero today.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown, the president of Accelera Solutions, is my guest for the hour, and I appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
Always enjoy talking about stuff like this. You are working with the Alta system in the military, the healthcare system. Talk about what you're doing there, and maybe in context of how somebody who is thinking about a virtualization solution could say, oh, that's I can see how that would work with my application too.
Sure. Yeah, so one of the challenges that the military healthcare system has is that they're the largest really healthcare system in the world. They deal with more patients than anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Kaiser Permanente is up there, but there's still a little bit of a gap. And so military healthcare has a lot of challenges that no one else has. One of those challenges is delivering or giving access to their electronic health records application, which is Alta, which you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
This application historically has been installed on every clinical desktop in the enterprise for military healthcare.
Wow.
As you can imagine, with military healthcare being a joint group, right? So they have Army, Navy, Air Force, right? Everybody mm-hmm. as part of military healthcare. They have different security regulations in each one of these parts of DOD. And that's always a challenge for them. If there's a patch that needs to be updated, or if there's a security measure that needs to be applied to a desktop that's running Alta,
mm-hmm.
well, quite frankly, it could break Alta.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that environment was very challenging to be able to maintain a high level of service for them with Alta, and be able to, quite frankly, look at new features, rolling those out, and be able to do it in a fluid fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And we began working with them about 4 years ago to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, we leveraged Citrix technology to virtualize the application itself and deliver that out to our first location, which was at Portsmouth Naval Hospital. The leadership in the military healthcare really paid attention to that and did a lot of measuring and a lot of statistics gathering, and they did a lot of due diligence in and around that deployment of the technology. And it took a little while to convince, I think, the right folks that it was the right way to go. But what we did was we worked very closely with them hand in hand to develop what has now become one of their enterprise strategies for handling applications and desktops throughout the, you know, the whole military healthcare system.
It's a fascinating story because as you said, the challenge is immense to try to manage all those people and all those records, and then to get them to interact well with the VA's records once somebody transitions out of service, into veteran status. So, I can only imagine what that involved to get your fingers in that project.
You know, interestingly enough, we're now so we've developed with military healthcare the military healthcare private cloud computing environment. So they're building right now, or we're helping them build a private cloud to deliver applications and virtual desktops to the enterprise. What's great about it is we're able to take that same infrastructure and reuse it to deliver those applications and infrastructure to the new federal healthcare center at North Chicago, which is a joint effort between DOD and VA. So we're able to give people, both VA clinicians and DOD clinicians, access to DOD applications with no changes to the endpoint.
There is always more stuff to talk about than there is time to talk about it, and unfortunately we are out of time, Joe, but I really appreciate you being here today and having this conversation. It's been terrific.
My pleasure, Francis. Thanks for having me.